Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? That's what I want to know. The exclusive sponsor of the show, the law firm Condori and Murad, can help you to draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that G&D sent you. kmlawyers.com. We're at Public Bar in DuPont. We're going to be here until 6:30. It's a Friday field trip. It is a rare field trip to the district, so if you are in D.C., you want to come kick it with us, get on out here. Take advantage today. We are here for another 2.5 hours. Danny, let's give some tickets away to somebody who's going to go to the Caps home opener next Wednesday night.
Please win these tickets. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You want a pair of tickets to opening night for the Washington Capitals, Wednesday, October 8th versus Boston. All fans in attendance will receive a schedule magnet for tickets and the complete Capitals schedule. Visit thefandc.com, courtesy of the Washington Capitals.
It is time for your Beltway Blitz on the teams in town you care the most about on this Football Friday. We're going to go Hokies, NFL, Commanders. Let's get after it. And to start on Virginia Tech football, we've got the voice of the Hokies, the great Bill Roth, with us. Bill, don't look now, but break up the boys. They've hung 38-23 in wins the last couple of weeks. They leveled up and beat NC State, going it back to their last outing, and now they've got Wake Forest coming to town to look to win three in a row here. What can you tell us about the 1 o'clock kick tomorrow in Blacksburg?
Well, the Hokies have never gone from 0-3 to 3-3, and that is an unusual occurrence, and that's what they'll try to do tomorrow. Big crowd is expected. It's homecoming. It'll be a near sellout if it's not completely sold out. But the big story for Tech is, guys, they're calling it Bully Ball now because that is Terrion Stewart's nickname, Bully, and he ran for 174 yards, kind of a coming-out party down in Raleigh last week, and they're going to give him the ball a whole lot again tomorrow here against Wake Forest. He is a bruising physical running back who reminds a lot of people of Bashal Tootin, who played for us the last couple of years and is now at Jacksonville. He breaks tackles. He's hard to bring down. No one wants to get near him defensively. He's just a big, strong dude who's in his first year with Tech. And he hadn't been healthy in the first three or four games, but he played really, really well at NC State last Saturday night.
Well, that may be the answer here, Bill, but what is the key to making sure they beat Wake Forest before traveling to a good Georgia Tech team next week?
Yeah, you know, Wake really should have had Georgia Tech beat last week. Wake's got a new coach. Coach Dicker came from Washington State. He brought a bunch of guys with him. He's got a team that nearly pulled off the upset last week. They're pretty good against the pass, but they've struggled defensively this year against the run. So I would expect Philip Montgomery, the Hokies' interim head coach and offensive coordinator, to try to pound it tomorrow. The offensive line is getting a little bit better as well. So it would be really remarkable if the Hokies could win this thing. They'd be 2-0 in the ACC and back to 3-3 after what was a really opening 21 days with a coach firing and so many opt-outs. It would be pretty cool to see this team get back to 3-3, all things considered.
Bill, educate me on Philip Montgomery a little bit. The initial win over Wofford was kind of a scheduled W, so you make the change, you call the meeting, so to speak, before you play the team you should beat. But the NC State win was impressive to me, and if they come out and handle Wake and win decisively, you know, it's time to start giving the 53-year-old Texan some love here.
You know, he was the head coach at Tulsa for 8 years, but he made his name at Baylor. He was the offensive coordinator at Baylor when RG3 was there. And as you guys know, they put up some ridiculous number. They put up like video game offensive statistics. at Baylor, running 110 plays and averaging like 600 yards a game. Well, he was the OC down there, and then he got a head coaching job after that. Did okay at Tulsa. They went to a couple of bowl games, but they decided to make a head coaching change. He was a offensive coordinator in Birmingham in that pro league, the UFL, last year, but he's got a lot of experience. He's been in the SEC. He's been in the Big 12. And our locker room has been really galvanized by his leadership skills. You know, he's got a deep Texas drawl, and he sounds like a Texas football coach, and that's what he is. He's from down there, and our guys have really bonded around him, and they've won two in a row since he's been named head coach.
What would it mean for that kind of a turnaround to end up, as you said, at 3-3, you know, kind of who knows next week at Georgia Tech, but a couple of, you know, make some hay games before the teeth of their schedule down the stretch, three ranked teams right now, Bill, in Florida State, Miami, Virginia. But what would it mean to have that kind of turnaround to beat 500 and maybe even have a chance to have a winning record after that start?
Well, it says a lot about the guys on the team. I mean, anybody that can imagine you're 0-3 and your head coach gets fired and a bunch of your players, including some key guys, decide to opt out, transfer, redshirt, and then the guys that stay win three games. I mean, that's pretty cool. I went back and did some research because it's hard to find. The team that I found that started 0-3 all time and then came back, at least in college football, and did well was in 1983. Penn State started 0-3 and finished 8-4-1. And it can be done. I mean, the odds are not with you to start 0-3 and have a good season, right? Everyone knows that. There's a reason that you're 0-3. But what that Penn State team did, it had great leadership. And I think that's what I did some research and read about that team in 83. I think this team kind of has it. I don't know that we got the roster, candidly, that Joe Paterno had back then. But we got some character guys on our team. So it's interesting. It's a different experience for sure for Tech fans. But they'll be here tomorrow. I think it'll be a really cool homecoming day and a homecoming for the team after last week's road win down at NC State when they take the field here tomorrow.
Bill, have a great call. We will be listening here on the Fan at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And take care of our guy, Toby Altizer. We know he's very high maintenance.
He's such a pain, Bill.
You know, I understand now he's going over to Madrid with the Commanders. Is that unbelievable?
That's what the rumors are saying. I think he's flying on the charter. He's staying in the team hotel. I believe he and Jaden are sharing a room.
So, see, that's the difference. So he's going to Madrid. He's going to get some paella. He's going to dance in the streets. He's going to do that Spanish guitar. And we get to go to Tallahassee. So you see the winner there.
It's the same. It's the same.
Toby 1, Bill Roth 0.
Exotic
on that
location.
One, I think. Yeah.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Bill. Be good. We'll be listening. Let's talk NFL football. PJ Glasser of the BetMGM Network joins us now. PJ, I want to start with the Ravens and the Texans. I like Houston over Baltimore with all of the Ravens' injuries in this game. I know they're very minimally favored. Most of the other guys, though, on the show are telling me I'm crazy. Where are you at on this game?
Yeah, I like the Ravens, Grant. Look, they have all those injuries, right? Lamar, I mean, he hasn't officially been ruled out, but certainly doesn't look like he's going to play.
By the way, I think they just ruled him and like six guys out, didn't they?
Okay, they did.
Like within
okay,
a minute
yeah.
ago, yeah.
Because I saw he didn't practice. So, yeah, he's out. Kyle Hamilton. I mean, so many guys, right? But, guys, I mean, the look-ahead line was 9.5 before the Ravens played Kansas City. I understand Lamar is not playing, all these injuries. It just feels like a 10-point adjustment almost for a Texans team that has not been good on the road, that is one of the worst offenses in the NFL. We've seen, you know, some of these backup quarterbacks, rookies, come in that first start. They play pretty well. So, you still got Derrick Henry, just like the Niners with McCaffrey last night. We saw how many ways they used him. I expect them to feed Derrick a lot and find a way to win a game because, guys, they lose that. They get a Rams team at home next week off a loss. They're staring 1-5 in the face. Almost a must-win for the Ravens. I think we see that desperation. So even without all those guys, I like them to win on Sunday.
Denver, Philly, how do you see it?
So we started to see a little bit of line movement today. The Eagles are back up to four-point favorites at some spots. I like the Eagles, guys. I'm just not buying all the Broncos love. You know, Philly, I understand they maybe haven't looked all that impressive at times. They've gotten fortunate to win some of these games. But Jalen Hurts is 9-0 against the spread as a home favorite, 6 points or less. So when he's at home in these kind of spots and people are looking towards the underdog and they think maybe Philly can get upset, that's when they tend to play their best football. And Bo Nix, since he's been in the league, he's beat up on bad teams like with Cincinnati last week, and he's struggled against a lot of the top teams, especially when he goes on the road. So I like Philadelphia. People can keep fading them every week. I'm not going to do that. I like the Eagles.
Bucks 3-1, Seahawks 3-1 in Seattle. This is a now 3.5-point spread. Seattle's favorite at home. What side are you on?
Super interesting game, right? Injury report for both teams. Bucky Irving ruled out today. Still no Mike Evans. So the Bucks are dealing with a bunch of injuries. Seattle's got a couple guys missing as well. I like Tampa, though, guys. I would probably lean that way. I think something we don't talk about enough is under the Mike McDonald era in Seattle, just how much they have struggled at home. They're 3-8 under his tenure at home. They still have a great home field. Their fans are still awesome, but they just aren't winning games at home. So I still think maybe we're like accounting for that Seattle home field a little bit when they've been a much better team on the road. You're getting Tampa as a dog. You're getting the better quarterback in Baker. And you're getting the key number at 3.5. So I like Tampa plus the points. I think that's going to be a close game.
Sunday night foosball, Jacksonville and the Chiefs. All of a sudden feels like kind of a marquee game. I didn't know what I was getting in Jacksonville, but I kind of like it.
Yeah, certainly is, right? Definitely big for the AFC standings. I like KC, guys. I think having Worthy back, you could just feel it watching that game, right? Just his presence, like how it changes that offense. And I'm still not buying Jacksonville. I know they had a nice win on the road in San Francisco last week. I'm still not there with Lawrence. I'm still not there with the offense. And I think getting KC, who's coming in, they won the last two. They're getting healthier. And Spags, I think, is going to put together another good game plan, and the Jags are going to struggle. So I like Kansas City. Feels like they win that game by a touchdown, so I'd lay the points with them.
Check out PJ Glass from the BetMGM Network in-house with us at Odyssey. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, fellas.
You got it. Let's keep the blitz moving. Our buddy Johnny Cakes-Alville will join us in moments to talk about the Washington Commanders. Danny, we are closing in on Sunday's 4 o'clock tilt between the Commanders and the Chargers. We do have Cakes with us right now.
Flakes.
Cakesy, what's your gut feel on this one with Washington trying to get to 3-2?
As strangely confident as I was for them heading to Atlanta, I'm basically doing a 180. I'm not confident in them winning this game at all, despite the return of Jaden Daniels to the lineup. I'm terrified by the defense. I'm in Camp Danny. I'm terrified of everything defensively for this team, especially the secondary. So my vibe right now is not great for the Commanders heading into this road game against the Chargers.
Yeah, I was hooting a boot driving around this area here, and I heard my favorite radio program, the Sports Junkies, make their predictions this morning, GP. You might as well have played dun, 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 dun. Like, it was a depressing march right there. JP was like, maybe for true they could win. It might be a good rebound game. And the rest of the junk's like, no, they're all losing and everyone's dead. They're going to hurt and die. And the play,
KC, tough, I am watching a video of Jaden Daniels in L.A. at practice right now. His knee brace looks like he found some type of, like, sports jacket out of your closet and just tied it around his leg. I mean, it is such a – it's just a big, bulky brace that he's going to be wearing in this game, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, as dynamic and as quick and as electric as he is, I mean, if you're wearing a knee brace that looks like it's straight out of the Great Depression, then, I mean, that's going to hamper you. That's going to slow you down. And, look, I think they were extra careful with him to keep him out the last 2 weeks. I feel like he's good to go, but, I mean, anytime you're lugging around a knee brace out there, it has to at least be in the back of your mind that, hey, maybe I'm not 100%. Maybe, you know, there's a reason I'm wearing this brace that I wasn't wearing in the first couple games of the season.
I mean, Danny, what's more restrictive, the brace we're looking at Daniel's wearing here or that thing that Forrest Gump wore on his leg?
I was literally going to try to get that zing in.
Like, I mean, well, this is the biggest brace I've ever
Forrest
seen.
Forrest Gump running from bullies would try to shed that thing. What's your vibe right now on Terry McLaurin? For folks that we talked to on the telephones, Flakesy, and here, there's a little bit of irritation. You know, listen, who knows whose fault it is that he got hurt? I mean, that happens in football, but also – you held out a long time for a team-friendly deal. You know, like, where are you guys at? Where are the Sports Junkies at in terms of their Terry McLaurin vibe?
Look, man, I want Terry and all these guys to get paid as much money as they possibly can, because, look, I mean, we just saw the gruesome Tyreek Hill injury last week on Monday Night Football. And, you know, these guys' career trajectories can end in a heartbeat. So I do not begrudge him one bit for trying to hold out and, you know, hold in or whatever you want to call it and get the best deal for him going forward. But to think that it didn't have any sort of impact on the fact that he's now missing games with his quad injury, I think is naive. So hopefully he's able to get back in the next few weeks. But, you know, much like my outlook on the defense, my outlook on him being back, you know, in the next week or so, I mean, I haven't heard any positive news as far as his injury goes. So I would expect, like, he's a week-to-week guy. And hopefully he's back in the next few weeks. But, again, like, I'm not optimistic about Terry returning next week. I think it's going to last longer than that.
Cakes, let's make each other jealous of each other. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Number one, your boy was at Cap One Arena watching the Caps last night. Steamed up.
Love it.
See little kid Leno score a preseason goal. So I'll just make you jealous.
Very good.
And then I'm jealous of Cakesy because Baseball Cakes has already had a sit down with Paul Toboney. You got to meet Toboney.
Hey, you want me to re-raise your jealousy quotient? Because we did sit down with Paul Toboney. I got to sit down with the great one, Ovi, the greatest one, a week ago this Friday. I did a 15-minute interview with him at Cap One Arena at one of the swanky lounges for a corporate event. So I got to interview Ovi like twice in the span of like 9 days. Jeeps, what do you think about them apples?
Wow, that's two more times than I've ever gotten interview, Ovi. So you're on a heater right now. Well done, buddy.
Look at this. I'm on a life heater.
Well, way to go, Cakes.
Well, speaking of heaters, I thank Cakes for not bringing it up. I thought he was going to start with it. But Captain Nibblers defeated old Kerry Conklin in the Homies League this past week. Cakes got the better of me, and I thought I was going to get chirped. So I appreciate you not doing that, Cakes, respectfully.
It's not a problem, Danny. Look, this is not my first rodeo. I know that we're heading into week five. There's a lot of runway left in this season, so no room to chirp in the first month. There's a lot of things that could go sideways. You
well,
know
Cakes,
how these rosters are.
As a 30-year radio professional, you knew that the only two people that would care about that are you and Danny. So
yes,
you didn't
correct.
Dare
yes.
bring it up on the radio.
Yes.
For fear that everyone would fall asleep at the wheel and crash their cars.
I'm very aware that nobody cares about mine or Danny's fantasy football team. I am uber aware of that, my friends.
Well, Cakesy, have a great weekend, buddy. We appreciate you hopping aboard the Beltway Blitz.
Yep, thank you, boys. You guys have a great weekend as well. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
So you do have a rival.
I have a rival.
This
here.
Is not like what this. Vin Scully once said.
141 to 138. That's how close.
By the way,
was.
Has anyone noticed how close every fantasy game is this year? Is that just me?
I no. mean,
it sounds like it's you too.
Yeah, it's
every game
time.
I'm playing in is decided by 2 or 3 points. It's wild.
It is and it's usually, and I don't mean to sound morbid or be flippant about them. It's obviously real life stuff, but it's like an injury determines it. You know what I mean? Like where one player underperforms dramatically, usually because they left the field and, you know, their careers changed, obviously. But, like, that's what's costing guys each matchup, it seems. It's crazy.
Commanders, Chargers, Sunday. Let's do this next. The Commanders win the game if, and the Commanders lose the game if. We'll get into that. We are live. DuPont, Public Bar, 18th Street Northwest. Grant and Danny on a field trip Friday on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan from Public Bar in D.C. A rare cameo in the district for your boys on a field trip Friday. We're here until 6:30, so come on out and hang with us. We will be on site getting you ready for an NFL and college football weekend ahead. Commanders and Chargers, we'll get back into the matchup in just a second. I want to talk about how the Commanders win and what would lead to a Commanders loss with Danny in just a few. But a couple of other storylines in the NFL going into week five. So the big story today, based on last night's Thursday night game, is the 49ers might just be okay. You know, it's been this roller coaster everybody's riding with them where there's a lot of injuries before the season. Are we sure they're that good? The thing you and I kept coming back to, though, was their schedule is super soft.
Soft.
And I think the stat I had that I used a couple times before we kicked off the season was that they played seven games, San Francisco did, against teams that picked in the top 10 last year. Now, you might play within your division, like two against the same team or whatever, but the point is seven games against top 10 picking teams. So you're going to have, when you get through the early part of the schedule, some softer opponents coming up. And now at 4-1, stealing a win from the Rams, getting a little bit healthier, they're in a pretty good spot. But I thought last night, I don't want to go too big and talk about legacy and how good is Kyle Shanahan. I do think that was a hell of a win for him, though, to kind of show how much coaching matters, how much scheme matters. He comes out on his first 15. They go right down the field and score a touchdown with a bunch of backups. Like, that is one of those games you go home, you sip on whatever your drink of choice is if you're Kyle Shanahan, and you feel like you're one of the best in the league.
Yeah, put your feet up and you go, I earned that one today. Sometimes it's get the ball to Christian McCaffrey. Sometimes it's, you know, let my playmakers make plays for me. Well, none of those guys were available, so what did you do about it? Came out with an unbelievable plan, to your point. Got the lead, held on for dear life against a team that is absolutely more talented.
And remember the storyline? This is going back several years ago. But when they were picking third, they traded way up to get the third pick.
Uh-huh.
Everybody said, Kyle Shanahan wants Mac Jones. And I remember everybody going, there's no way he wants Mac Jones at number three. That guy from Alabama? He's a point guard with a bunch of weapons. He's fairly unathletic. He can't really move. How good has Mac Jones been in this offense?
Pretty good.
They're 3-0 in his starts. Now, I'm not doing some Brock Purdy quarterback controversy thing. They've paid Purdy. Purdy's a better player, I would think, and is really, really good and has done enough to prove himself. But Mac Jones has outperformed him when he's been on the field this season, for what that's worth.
Yeah, but imagine the world where they actually did that.
This is kind of what I'm getting to. Then there's no Purdy. Isn't this to the – like, we've talked about how much of it is talent versus fit versus scheme versus – coach empowerment. What if Mac Jones went third years ago? Is he Purdy? I mean, is he just a $200 million quarterback that everyone just kind of throws into the top 10 conversation? I don't know. Probably not. But small sample, he has been really good in this offense.
Yeah, my answer is yes, by the way, is that every once in a while somebody comes along that fits the same way Drew Brees was fine as a San Diego Charger. And with Sean Payton in that system, in that place, he was perfect, right? And nobody wanted him. Because he didn't have arm strength anymore, especially after the shoulder issue. And Sean Payton said, well, that doesn't matter to me. We're going to throw it short and intermediate all the time, and he's an encyclopedia, so we'll kick everybody's ass and win 13 games a year. I do think that. I really do. That this would have been a Purdy situation, not a Mr. Irrelevant, but a guy with traits that wouldn't blow you away if you saw him at a combine or do anything other than run Kyle Shanahan's system to a T. If you do that, if you, you know, just let him move the joystick, and when you push the C button on your old Sega Genesis, he throws the pass to the right place, you will put up really, really good numbers, and he could have executed it really well.
The other big NFL headline, and we hit this just in passing during the Beltway Blitz, but it is official. The Ravens have ruled out Lamar Jackson with that hamstring. Lamar being out for a team that is 1-3 in a gotta-have-it game here against the Texans, who last week pitched a shutout. Now getting a backup quarterback in Cooper Kupp. I get that the Ravens offensively have been pretty good and that their defense has been the problem. They've been terrible. That's kind of why I like the Texans here, honestly. The Texans' defense is awesome. They have played some really good football at times this season. If you can hold Baltimore into the teens, I don't know that I trust that defense to keep a bad Houston offense out of, you know, the 17 to 20 to 23 range, something like that. Very winnable game for the Texans, but they've got, after this Houston game, L.A., then a bye, then Chicago. And the Bears seem to be ascending. They've won back-to-back games. Ben Johnson, they've got a bye week, so they play Washington. And then not long after that, they will have a game with the Ravens. This is a game where if Baltimore loses, I think I'm going to be ready to slam the gavel and say this season's gotten away from them.
That start is so bad. Their one win is over Cleveland, I think, for goodness sakes. Just kind of tells you the story of their year. The injury list, it is Lamar Jackson, but it's also everybody else. I mean, they are going to be without, I think, seven starters this weekend alone, where they only missed seven man games, starter man games, whatever you want to call it, last year. They are struggling at this point. I had no idea their defense would be this bad. This is kind of the bottom falling out, your worst-case scenario for a team that before the season had Super Bowl aspirations. But you're right. I mean, the schedule is not terribly easy for them. To not win that Buffalo game, I think, is really going to come back and bite them, even if they do put together a run second half of the year. But you know, over the next few weeks, it's not easy. They need to win this week somehow in Houston. And congratulations to the Ravens, by the way. I picked Houston in confidence points, which means Baltimore by a million. But if they somehow win one of these next couple of games, they're 2-4, maybe get healthier during the bye week, you've got a stretch where you could put some hay in the barn with games like the Dolphins and Cleveland and the Jets and Cincinnati, who's pretty beleaguered a couple times. Maybe you can get back into this thing and harvest your nuts a little bit. But, yeah, a rough start might put them behind the eight ball.
All right, so let's turn our attention then to the Commanders and the Chargers. And we have not opened up the phones today on this game, so we could do that here with this question. Answer our Friday staple. They win if what happens, and they lose if what happens. And we're looking for two different variables here. So it's not like if you think they need to generate takeaways, as an example, to win, you can't then say, well, they lose if they don't, right? So two different ideas. If something happens, they win, and if what happens, they lose. Let's go positive first, Danny. Washington beat the Chargers, as we're talking on Monday, because?
Turnovers. And I know it's annoying because you just said you can't just say takeaways, but that's my answer. And this pass rush has to get home. It's got to be sack fumble. It's got to be a hurried pass for an interception. It's got to be a tip pass up in the air for an interception. They need more than 1 through 4 games to get this done. If Justin Herbert is allowed to throw the football, the game will end. They cannot stop that. These three receivers are awesome. Herbert is awesome, despite the fact that he's been harassed and harangued more and more, especially as offensive line injuries have mounted for the Chargers. That's where they have to win here, talking about Washington this week. If they get home, sack fumble Von Miller, sack fumble Dorrance Armstrong, batted pass Deron Payne, Javon Kinlaw, whoever's in there, you have to turn the football over at least a couple of times, and it's got to come from your pressure.
So I've got one on both sides of the ball. The Commanders defensively, they're key. Washington wins if they hit Justin Herbert and they generate the pressure they couldn't last week. The conservative nature of the design defensively the last two games post-Green Bay has been bothersome to me, but it also was understandable to some extent. They were able to get pressure against the Raiders, rushing with their defensive front. They didn't have to blitz. And when Joe Witt occasionally dialed up something from the A-gap with Bobby Wagner, it worked. So you tap them on the back, you say, good job, coach, and you keep it moving. Against Atlanta, they were pretty convinced, it seems like, based on the plan. They didn't need to blitz. They didn't need to bring a fifth at any point. They were wrong. They didn't get home. They couldn't beat that battered offensive line. And I think they got shredded defensively, and they lost the game because of it. So that's where I'm starting. This is the underbelly of this team. This is the thing you got to take advantage of. This is how the Giants beat them. It's how everyone's going to beat the Chargers that beats them in the foreseeable future. This is a bad line, and you don't allow them to level up and play better based on Herbert being able to basically quick game you and get the ball out of his hands. 3-1 as a starter this year, Justin Herbert and the Chargers in his games, but 63.8% completion percentage, 92.2 passer rating, both the lowest, believe it or not, 4 games in his career. As great as he started through 2 games, it has plummeted back down to earth these last 2 weeks. Has nothing to do with him because he's playing lights out. I mean, he makes some big-time, ridiculous, awesome arm talent throws, but he has just been crushed the last couple of weeks. So that's the defensive plan. They win if on offense. I mentioned this in our first hour. If Daniels can run. If Daniels is able to look like he did physically, or even earlier this year when he wasn't playing at the same level as 2024, but he could just move. He can run. He can pick up 6 or 8, stay ahead of the sticks on 2nd and 12 after a bad penalty or something. He can go scramble for 7 or 9 and set up a 3rd and manageable 3rd and short. I think you win. Because I do think there's going to be opportunities for him to have an 8 or 9 carry, 65 rushing yard day as a quarterback in this matchup. And frankly, the way that they're going to have to operate offensively without McLaurin, without Noah Brown, with Bates just coming back, you know, with a banged up offensive situation, I think you're going to need some rushing from Jaden Daniels. So that's how they win for me. What about the other side of this, Danny? Let's get into that next. The Commanders lose if, and we'll also take your calls. 800-636-1067 is the number. Live from Public Bar in D.C. on 18th and Northwest, we're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think you kind of just focus on us. And obviously they're coming off a bad taste in their mouth too, so we know we're going to get their best game when they're going back home. You know, we're going on the road, so we haven't played the best on the road. So kind of just focus on ourselves and go out there having fun and, you know, cutting it loose.
Jaden Daniels headed home to California. Gets the nod in L.A. for the first time as an NFL starter. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. The Commanders will win if, and Washington loses if, what happens on Sunday against the Chargers. So for win if on defense, pressure Justin Herbert, hit him consistently, you're going to win. Lose if for me coming up. Danny, what was your win if?
Win if is turnovers. And the pass rush has to get home. It's got to come from there, right? It's got to come from a sack, fumble, a tip pass for an interception. Pressure, pressure, pressure.
So what's your lose-if?
Lose-if is Justin Herbert can throw it all. There are going to be times, even with pressure, where the ball leaves his hand. He threw 41 times last week. If that happens against Washington this week, if the ball leaves his hand 41 times, it'll be complete plenty. 27, 28, 30 times, this pass defense simply cannot hold up against these receivers. You need to constantly put them in terrible down and distance and hope that even those aren't converted as they were last week.
I've got they lose the game if Daniels looks compromised and we're kind of watching him play with a knee brace on and it feels like he isn't himself. If at any point during the game there's a question of, why'd they bring him back this quick? Mm. By the way, I do not think this is going to happen because I think the video we've seen of him, he looks pretty normal. And I also just don't believe this staff would put him in harm's way. That's pretty clear by how they handled this. But I'm saying in a hypothetical where we're watching the game and we're going, yeah, he does not look completely right. This is a little too soon. Then that tells me he's not going to be able to do all the stuff they're going to need him to do to win this football game. The other thing I'll say is I think if they don't have a – strong defensive performance, like vaguely. This Chargers defense can shove it on you. The Commanders are not scoring 30 in this game, I promise you. This is not a 34-30 football game, in my opinion. This is a 20-17 kind of tilt. If they can't keep the Chargers from sustaining drives, force punts, turnovers, take them or leave them, I'm not as big on that this week as it sounds like you are, but just keep them from getting points, you're in trouble. Because I don't see this as a game. Like, last week in Atlanta, I thought you could go down there and score 24, 27, 30 points against that defense. I don't know about you, Danny. I don't see that in L.A. against the Chargers this weekend.
No, here's where it's similar. I agree with your assessment, by the way. But similarly to last week, though, I think I have a pretty decent feel for what the offense is going to be doing. In other words, Some plays will be made. Jaden Daniels will help you. I think they'll run the ball okay at times. I could see him putting up a decent enough offensive performance, maybe ending in the low 20s. Kind of that's what I saw last week with Mariota, except now it's Daniels back, not quite 100%, still wearing a brace, not quite Superman yet. I think he will be. He needs his sea legs underneath him. He's got to play to get them. So I feel like I've got a good feel for what the offense is going to do. To me, the variable is the defense. And we saw it was a big failure last week, and this is now a group with, you know, a better track record and pedigree of passing the ball. The variable for them, of course, is what their offensive line is doing, whereas I thought Atlanta's was playing pretty darn well. So to me, can Washington take advantage and bother him to such a high degree that they can't even run plays? That's the way to win this game. If he's able to sling the football to me, that's where I'm terrified.
Let's go out to California ahead of the game and talk to Wendell, who's listening on the Odyssey app. Free and available wherever you are. Take it with you. Pause and rewind the show. What's up, Wendell? How are you?
Hi. Doing good. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Yeah, buddy.
I think that we will win this game if we own the time of possession, period. And I think that we will lose if their defense does the same thing as what happened last week and they figure out what these worst weaknesses are.
Thanks, buddy. So
time of possession is the thing, I think.
28th in the NFL out of 32 teams right now through four games for Washington. 27 minutes, 44 seconds per game. Juxtapose that with last year's team where time of possession was kind of what they majored in and how they made their bacon. They were one of the best in the NFL, kind of circuit to circuit all year in that regard, and they finished in the top 10 with over 30 minutes, right around 31 minutes. They're down about 4 minutes. That's a lot more time for your bad defense to be on the field. And we went through all the numbers early in the week where we go, oh, this is kind of similar. Oh, the yards per play, the yards per game, this is not that different. It doesn't matter, though. If you don't have a good defense and they play 15 more snaps at 6 yards per play, think about the difference. Like, if I'm on the field for 12 more snaps at 6 yards per play, that's 72 yards. Now, how many more points? That's two field goals. Is that a touchdown and a field goal? Is that possibly 10 points? And that is not just an offensive stat. It's a defensive stat, too. You're allowed to make your own plays. You're allowed to get off the field on third down. But it is indicative of a bigger picture point with this team, Danny, which is you can live and die with time of possession being substandard if you're pretty good defensively. When you're trying to avoid getting exposed at all costs, you can't be on the field for 33 minutes.
No,
it's just not going to work.
That's it right there. And, yeah, I mean, people look at that and go, oh, the offense, to a degree, yeah. Again, the offense hasn't been what it was when it was humming last year. We're all aware of that, right? But not 4 minutes worth, right? A big chunk of that four-minute differential to me is the defense because they've gotten into the situations that they'd want. You force a second and 17, a second and 16 this past week. You get long down to distances that 90-some percent of the time in the NFL result in punts. You get one throw for something, maybe a give-up run or a couple, you know, in front of the sticks type throws, and you should be off the field. They're not. That's kind of where this the fulcrum is. That's the tipping point to me for this defense. If they could just be reasonable in the pass game, they got a great chance to win this football game and do something this year.
I do like playing on the road and not having to deal with a super hostile environment. Like, to me, almost every road game in the NFL adds so many variables where when they went to Lambeau Field, if you remember, Washington is practicing outside at their facility in Ashburn, and they're blaring Go Pack Go like in everybody's ears from the loudspeakers so they couldn't hear anything because you're getting ready for that environment. When they were going to Atlanta, you try to get ready for that. So they practiced in the bubble at the end of last week, and they're pumping in music and sounds and all kinds of really loud stuff, even though it was a, frankly, kind of a home-type feel because it was 50-50 in the crowd. You're going to L.A. to play the Chargers, especially. I mean, the Rams, you saw the 49ers invade the stadium last night. It's not a whole lot better. But the Rams have a better chance as a former Super Bowl champion since going out there to have a home field advantage. There is nothing about the Chargers at home that is fearful. I'm just talking about a fan standpoint. So that is one good thing, is going out there. That it's, you know, this weekend, the Giants are going to New Orleans. The Saints aren't very good. Superdome, there's still a lure to that. There's still volume, and people are going to be
there. It's still Mardi Gras party time.
Yeah. The Broncos are getting ready to go to the Link. People are throwing eggs at your bus, as you're driving up to the stadium. You just don't have to deal with any of that against the Chargers. That's one thing I feel pretty good about.
Totally right. Yeah. I wonder how much of a factor that's going to be, but it's you'd rather have it this way than not, right?
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. I want to get into something that I tweeted about yesterday that people are way more defensive of than I thought they would be. I want to get Danny's take on that. We'll also spin you around the NFL this hour, a Commander's spotlight coming your way. It's a football Friday, a field trip Friday. We are at Public Bar in DuPont in Northwest on Grant and Danny, and we're here till 6:30. Come on out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.